Sorry about the surreal but nice comment. We're talking about Hugh Grant today. That was a terrible accent. I didn't even attempt to do a British accent. Hi, this is Karen from San Francisco.
And this is Alex from Los Angeles. And welcome to Movies That Shaped Us. We are two longtime friends who grew up on opposite ends of the globe with very different backgrounds. We're both shaped and are still being shaped by the movies we see and love. In this episode, we'll cover a filmmaker, actor, or director who shaped our love of film. And this is an actor, and as you already said, this is Mr. Hugh Grant. And I think I'll also spare listeners from my attempts at an English accent in this episode, too, because they'll probably not be any better. But why Hugh Grant, Karan? Like, why are we talking about him today? I think you're more of the bigger fan than I am. So why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're both 90s kids, and the rom-com genre is sort of signature to the 90s. And I think to me, like, he was sort of my introduction to the rom-com genre, really. And a lot of it has to do, I think, with my mom, because these movies were an instant hit with her. And through her, I enjoyed watching them as well. So, you know, we'll obviously get into his filmography, but I think that's my relationship with him. And specifically, I think through the 90s and growing up, to me, there were very few people who could sort of straddle this line between being charming and romantic and obviously attractive and handsome, but also kind of being smarmy at the same time and a little bit annoying at the same time and bumbling and maybe even idiotic at the same time and silly. It's a very tough line to walk on. And I think that's why, like, these movies work, because everything that I just said is sort of what a real human is. And often these romantic comedies, like, the characters are not grounded enough or they're not real enough. And hence the stakes aren't meaningful enough. You're not rooting for the people or crying with them or hating them or what have you. And I think that's his gift, that he sort of imbues so much humanity. And then on top of that, makes it look super effortless. And I think that's what has made him an amazing romantic comedy star. And that's kind of what got me into him. And then, you know, throughout his career, I saw him sort of play with shades of that. So, you know, there's a era of his movies where he's playing up the slightly irritating and smarmy kind of aspect of his personality or his persona. There are others where he's maybe playing sort of the bumbling idiot sort of persona. But what's sort of interesting is that over the last like 10 years or so, he's kind of blossomed into this amazing character actor, you know, where I think he's no longer self-conscious or maybe even tied to the persona that he created or was sort of gifted to him. And he's stepping out of that, you know, stepping out of that comfort zone on his own volition or whatever it might be. And I'm loving that, you know, how many people can have like another era in their career. And in his case, he sort of backed out from the movies. So it's sort of really fun to see him come back and experiment and play different kinds of roles. They don't have to be leading roles.
Right.
They're often shades of gray and really more towards the darker side of gray, which is amazing, because he always had all of that in him. He just either wasn't allowed to do it, or maybe he himself didn't choose to do it because it felt a little bit unsafe. So overall, like, I think he's one of the underrated actors from the 90s, who's been a blockbuster star and is globally recognized. And, you know, it's fun to having sort of grown up with him in a way through the movies. So that's my relationship with Hugh Grant.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I can't argue with anything you said in terms of what his persona is. I think for me, we'll get into his filmography in these different phases, but definitely as I grew up in the 90s, like, romantic comedies were not a thing that I enjoy, a genre that I enjoyed. And even as I've gone back to it, I feel like that time period of romantic comedy for me still doesn't really work all the time. And actually, Hugh Grant, as the face of that, at least the male face of that, I always found him irritating because of it. Not that I even watched these movies as a kid. I'm like, oh, Hugh Grant, he's such a prat. He's so annoying. Like, I've only seen him in these trailers and he's really popular. All the women really like him. He's got this smarmy kind of like vibe to him. So he always annoyed me. And actually, I would avoid movies if I knew he was in them for a long time, actually. Like, definitely growing up and even into like the 2000s. And it really wasn't until that mid 2000 era, we started taking this more chances, things like, you know, About a Boy that we recently talked about, or another movie that was seminal for me in my journey with Hugh Grant, American Dreams, where he's playing up his like jerkness. And that to me feels more, I don't know, like I enjoy those characters more. And now in this new phase where he is a character actor, I've really enjoyed his performance. I actually think he's one of my favorite actors working now. And yeah. Before, like as a teenager, I literally would like could not stand the sight of his face. I'd see a poster with Hugh Grant's face on him, like that guy. I just want to smack that guy. He's so annoying. And now I'm like, oh, cool. Like Hugh Grant's in this. Like I wonder what he's gonna do because he's such an interesting character actor now. And the interesting thing too about his career is it wasn't that he flamed out and like all of a sudden no one wanted him as a romantic lead or his movies are bombing. It seemed to me like he purposely stepped away.
Oh yeah, and wanted got into to do politics this, and such. That's
which
why.
which is cool. Like actually, yeah. That he's like, you know what? I want to do something different in my career now. I want to be more of this, you know, character actor, play these more complicated characters that might be supporting, you know, characters in the film and not just this romantic lead where I'm playing the quote unquote Hugh Grant type of lead. And I really respect him. And also stuff on like the things that he's been fighting for in, on his personal life too, just as a person, he seems like he's, mm-hmm. you know, super humble, doesn't want to be in the spotlight, you know, fighting on the political causes that I tend to align with. So I really respect him a lot as a guy, the humility of that too. But it's going to be fun kind of going through these movies. Because again, I think you fell in love with him a lot earlier than I did. And I still sort of have a version a bit to those films. I've gone back and seen his seminal 90s romantic comedies now, and he doesn't annoy me as much as he did as a kid, at least. And I find enjoyment in some of them for sure, especially his earlier work. But it's still like I prefer the more recent phase of his career than the one that I'm sure everyone else listening is like, oh, yeah, how could you not love those 90s Hugh Grant movies when he was kind of on top of the world? But it just never, you know, something about that version of him as a lead just never really worked for me.
Yeah, I'm interested to kind of get into that a little bit more as to why. But I guess to get into his filmography, so like we always do, they're like distinct chapters. Mm-hmm. So I think his pre-90s or really his 80s kind of decade, like most British actors, right? They come from, you know, sort of playing, you know, English sort of period dramas and such. And I don't know if he had anything on TV before, but mm-hmm. like a lot of English actors, that's how he started. I haven't watched all of this stuff, but the stuff that I have watched, which is, you know, going back in his filmography, I didn't start with this, obviously, but Maurice is an incredible movie. I'm a big, you know, Merchant Ivory film mm-hmm. production fan, and this is one of their crown jewels, I think. And he plays a character who's quite different from what we know Hugh Grant to be. You know, he is, of course, like he's very charming and handsome, and he's sort of the guy who helps the lead character sort of really fall in love. But then there's lots of shades of gray here because this is an Edwardian drama where, you know, being out and being gay and being together is obviously not going to be okay. So Hugh Grant's character basically leaves Maurice, who's the lead, mm-hmm. and gets married to a woman and sort of breaks his heart and what have you. So there's also like shades of gray to him, but even in those, it's a supporting role, but you can see how charming and irresistible he is and why anybody would sort of lose their mind for this person and kind of jeopardize their own existence and such for him. So that's sort of my early kind of introduction, or I should say late introduction to him from that period. But all the other movies in this period are pretty much sort of period dramas, like mm-hmm. most, you know, upcoming British actors. Curious if you've seen anything in this part of his career.
I haven't actually. Like this is yeah. also like, I know you're a big Merchant Ivory fan and that type of, you know, costume drama.
Yeah,
that is. It's not like I don't enjoy that, and I've loved the films that you've brought to this podcast already that fit into that type of filmmaking. And maybe we'll get some of these other films that is in his early part of his career in a future episode. But I just never really, you know, had a huge interest in them, so I haven't actually seen his work in from this period or even gone back to check it out. But it's interesting that you say they're sort of. It's almost like he starts out maybe more as a character actor in the beginning. Is it? Do you think it's more akin to the end of his career?
I wouldn't say it's still, you know, leading man, but okay. like coming up and starting with supporting roles and then graduating to leading man roles. But they're all, you know, muted or they're playing up on a certain thing. But that's how these period dramas are, right? Like they're rich text. They're based on amazing literary pieces of work. So you mm-hmm. get a lot of layers to play, but. But you can tell that he's not fully arrived in the Hugh Grant persona yet. The elements of those at play, because he's very charming and all of that. But yeah, I wouldn't call it that he's a character actor the way he is right now. Like, you can see that this person is up on the rise. It's sort of, I compare him to, you know, like Jude Law, for example, when he came on the scene, you could instantly see that, oh, there's something here. And then, of course, there's a whole famous year of like, they're like 12 movies from the Jude Law. Like, he's everywhere.
Right.
And we're going to come to that, you know, come the 90s. I mean, Remains of the Day is amazing. We've talked about this on the podcast there again. He's a supporting role and kind of playing up his sort of charming but slightly silly kind of repressed person. But where things really explode is Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Right.
That's when I saw him first. I remember this was a favorite movie of my mom and she would watch it. It was a big sensation across the board. I don't even know if I fully understood the movie. I think I was too young to really follow it.
Yeah.
To be honest, and I've watched it since, and I was like, oh, this is such a clever piece of writing, you know, as always by the filmmakers of this movie. But this is the movie that really kickstarts the Hugh Grant persona, everything we talked about up front, somebody who's relatable, charming, but also kind of smarmy and sometimes silly, but sometimes arrogant. His famous sort of bumblingness of, you know, repeating words and a bit of a stammer, the hairdo of this movie, the floppy hair.
Yeah, very nice.
Everything starts here. And then he basically plays the same character like 12 other times.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head of like, this is the movie that created the quote unquote like Hugh Grant persona. And now, this is a film I actually did not see when it was out. I'd heard about it. But I came to this in college due to the screenwriter Richard Curtis, who his TV work of Blackadder and Mr. Bean are some of my favorite TV shows of all time. And then I realized, oh, he's done some movies. And I was, oh, Four Weddings and a Funeral? Like, really? He did that? And then I watched it and I thought it was fantastic. And my Hugh, I still had that aversion to Hugh Grant at this time, but the material, and you know, he's not the only character in the film. There's a lot of other things going on. I think this movie is incredibly charming and funny and definitely a seminal 90s romantic comedy for sure. Like one of the five ones that sort of set a template for the rest of the decade. And this is the crystallization of that Hugh Grant persona that I was annoyed by after this. But for me, it worked in the context of this film, I think just because the script and the situations and all the rest of the actors are just doing such a great job. It just, it's a fantastic film.
Fantastic
it still holds
film.
Up to this day.
And the chemistry between him and Andy McDowell is like just absolutely incredible. What you want from a romantic comedy is almost, you know, screwball-y going back to the 40s romantic comedies, but obviously updated to, you know, current times of the 90s.
Right.
So he basically, you know, gets catapulted kind of globally. And it's, I don't even think about this up till now, but it's amazing to me that how he was so omnipresent, even in India. And I think it sort of makes sense because, you know, Bollywood movies have like a pretty heavy component of romantic comedy kind of woven in sort of the blockbuster, as we call them, masala films. So I think it makes sense. And then, you know, we've always had this thing with Britain, right? That this sort of love hate, you admire it and you look up to it, but you also reckon with the past and all of that. So there's always been this attraction. And I think this movie just comes in at the exact right time where Bollywood movies are also going through an evolution from the 80s sort of angry, you know, loud action blockbuster movies into more family oriented movies. And, you know, some of them will come up as we go further in the podcast. And it was a seminal year for big Bollywood movies that were for the full family, right? Everybody shows up, including your grandparents and such. They're all around weddings and what have you. So it's so funny that this British movie is in the smack down middle of that era of Bollywood, and hence it connects so amazingly. That's how I know of it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known him.
Interesting. So that was a parallel trend. It wasn't like this started that in Bollywood. You think it was sort of happening already? I'm obviously not
parallel.
An expert.
I would say
that's really interesting.
And I think benefited, you know, hugely. So then, after that, I pretty much watched most of these big movies that he did, like, you know, 9 months, or there's some like detours here. Like, I don't know if people have seen Extreme Measures, which is sort of this.
Oh, he's playing that's like a thriller.
It's a thriller, kind of a doctor ER sort of movie. I think he's great in it. So I highly recommend that. But then I think the to sort of end the decade, the crown jewel of this persona of Hugh Grant that further is sort of leveled up to another level is Notting Hill, which I think till this date is sort of in the pantheon of romantic comedies or romantic movies. And there he is with the biggest star in the world, Julia Roberts, and all of his kind of persona traits of charming, attractive, bumbling, silly, smart, relatable, smarmy, irritating. Mm-hmm. They're all fully dialed up. And I, again, Richard Curtis.
Right.
And it's, you know, a hard premise to sell, obviously, but I don't know. I think it's a personal taste thing. Either you are into it or you're not into it. And I can see why you may not be into it, Alex, but it worked on me.
Yeah, I mean, this movie I watched for the first time for this podcast.
Yeah.
And I did not dislike it. I mean, it's interesting too, because like, I'm not a fan of Hugh Grant in the 90s. I don't like Julia Roberts in any time period. But this movie was still, there was a charm to it. And I think a lot of that is not just due to Richard Curtis, but I think that was a big part of it. Just me liking his material. But I found that Hugh Grant was more, I guess, humbled or toned down some of those normal, because he's playing like the everyday man who's right. smitten with the star. So I think he's less hammy in this role than he was in some of those previous roles that in previous films, I should say, before this, between Four Weddings and this. I think he was definitely playing up that hamminess. And for this, it was dialed back a little bit, I think, for the sense of the story. And maybe for me, that's why it was easier to swallow now, having, you know, after now I do like Hugh Grant as an actor. So going right. back and watching these might be easier for me to kind of swallow these performances. But I did find the movie good. Like I liked it. I, you know, was going in thinking maybe I wouldn't because of the people involved, but it was enjoyable. And a lot of that, I think, was due to him. He carries the film, I think, more than Julia does, honestly.
Yeah, it's from his point of view too, right? And maybe that's true, because I think movies like Mickey Blue Eyes and 9 Months that are sort of pre this, in between yes. Four Weddings and this, are they're not great movies. They were fun at the time, and definitely that persona is dialed up quite a bit versus here it's like in check.
Right.
So that was sort of the end of the 90s, and then we start the new decade where I think this is where he starts to sort of play a little bit with the persona and screw around with it and dial up certain aspects, but downplay other aspects. And I think the first one in this era is Bridget Jones' Diary, where he's the bad guy. You know, he's still on the face of it, has all the charm and the appeal, and you want to go for him. And spoiler alert, if anybody's not seen it, turns out he's not into Renee Zellweger's character.
Right.
He's sort of playing her, and it's a big reveal, and it's sort of heartbreaking for her, but also for the audience, because guess what? We as an audience have spent the last 10 years falling in love with Hugh Grant, and he can do no wrong. He is this, you know, you can be smarmy and irritating, but not deceiving and not, you know, somebody who would lie or cheat or manipulate somebody. That's not what we've come to know him as. So it was a big moment, I think, for a lot of people, including me and my family, to see mm-hmm. him in this sort of avatar. But yeah, I mean, Bridget Jones is an incredible movie, for at least for all romantic comedy fans. I don't know if you've seen it. You probably have.
Actually, I have not seen this.
Oh, wow.
No,
I highly recommend it.
Okay.
The first one.
Okay. But it's interesting what you say. I think he was consciously at this point trying to step away from that role. And this is a transition in that, right? Where you think he's playing the Hugh Grant of the 90s, but actually he's adding some layers to this and being the bad guy, which not that he's the bad guy in all these movies that follow, but he definitely has a harder edge to him. And
right. Like, there's shades of gray
that are coming in where he's not likable. I think that's the way to, he's not a likable guy anymore, even though he might still be the lead or you might still care about him, but he's not as likable as he was in that 90s period. Like, oh, he's so charming. How can you not fall for this bumbling, like, right. you know, guy? I do wonder if he consciously was like, I want to take this role
I'm sure
in this film.
Did.
And filmmakers thought it would be great twist, right, on his on-screen persona if he was the bad guy that she shouldn't be with instead of
Definitely.
The guy that she should, you know?
Yeah. And in this one, though, I think he is the bad guy. He's not the bumbling idiot. He's very sharp and dashing and somebody who, you know, would sweep you off your feet and mm-hmm. looks amazing. And that's the other thing I should mention, that there are not that many sort of icons of men's fashion from the movies, and you know, I probably should have included him in sort of a style episode, but he's like seminal, like whether it's the floppy hair and kind of the, you know, just out of bed, relaxed sort of look, or the really sharp and dashing put together look like from the Bridget Jones Diary, because he, I think, plays like a CEO or something of an ad agency or something like that. So he's really put together, cars and the watches and perfectly tailored suits, and all of it was like a huge part of his persona. He's still a very well-dressed man, and has grown really grown old really nicely too, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah, as old a period. for me, this period was when I started being more interested in his films and seeing movies that he was in and not kind of avoiding them, maybe because he was doing different types of films than just the typical romantic comedy. We talked about a Boy in a previous episode, and that for me was a movie where that I avoided, like I was saying, for a couple of years because he was in it, and then eventually did see it and just loved not only the film, but I think that performance is so great, because he's all the charm is sort of weaponized. Like he's a womanizer in at least in the beginning of the film, where he's charming, but he's using the women essentially and not treating them well. So he's using his weapon, his power of good looks and charm for evil, which is just, for me, just worked better, I guess, of this, you know, middle-aged guy who's not treating women very well, even though the women are falling over him, because you can't not, he's Hugh Grant. You know what I mean? And I just think that performance is fantastic. And then also I'll put in again, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, American Dreams, which is this film that kind of flopped from 2006.
I've never seen it.
It's fantastic film, also by Chris Weitz as well. I think they wrote it too. And it's, the plot is like a American Idol type show. Hugh Grant is the host, and the president of the United States, who's sort of like the George W. Bush avatar, decides he wants to be a guest judge and come on it. And then terrorists decide they should compete in the competition, because then if they get towards the end, they'll be in front of the president, they can kill him. Which is, it's a farce type of comedy movie, commenting a lot on post 9/11 US, you know, Iraq war era, United States. But Hugh Grant plays this horrible sort of game show host, who's just a horrible guy, but everyone loves him because he presents really well to the public. And again, that sort of duality of, he's got all the charm, but he's actually a bad guy. For some reason, this period for me, those are the roles that really worked, and those are the ones that he went towards. I think he's hilarious in this movie, perfectly cast. And I think the movie is sort of a, I don't want to say it like a hidden gem movie, but if folks come across it on cable or on a streaming service, I remembered seeing it several times actually around that period and thinking it's hilarious and good social commentary, and especially his role. So that's what I would recommend. Maybe you check out, Karan, if you ever come across
that. American
Dreams
to.
With a Z on the end for some reason.
No, that sounds really interesting. And you're totally right. This whole decade is basically that duality. Like, you know, About a Boy, we talked about, 2 weeks notice, same thing, like very annoying person to Sandra Bullock, but still charming. Another Bridget Jones Diary sequel, also very good. So yeah, this whole decade is basically that. And now that I think about it, it's this persona of Hugh Grant that I think about more. You know, somebody who's charming, but there's like a negative side to him, and that negative side could be him being actively bad or manipulative, or just being selfish, you know.
Right. Yes.
The music
yes.
and lyrics, we talked about that movie too.
Yes.
He's not a bad guy, but he's sort of selfish and kind of narrow-minded, and he has to really work through all of that with Drew Barrymore's character to kind of come out and sort of appreciate who she is and appreciate love and all of that. Right. So this whole decade is in that zone, which might be my favorite of his, to be honest, because he plays that so well. And I guess the other word I would throw, which we haven't used so far, is effortless. I think this stuff is, it just seems so easy that, oh, you just assume this is how he must be. It's so hard to pull that off. Even if he were this way, it's the hardest to play yourself, which I don't think he is this way. So whatever he's done in this decade, it's kind of genius, I think, because it just comes off as so natural, so effortless. And yet these movies are not like arty movies. Like, they are blockbuster popcorn movies, which are, you know, surreal and romantic and what have you. And yet he's able to kind of appeal to that, but yet keep his characters fairly grounded and effortless. I think that's a skill.
No, definitely. And now that I think back on this era too, in terms of bringing in, like you said, this not a bad guy, but just the more complicated,
yeah,
maybe they have some flaws involved. I wonder if it has anything to do with the sex scandal in the end of the 90s that he went through that was very public. And, you know, he came out on that famous late night talk show where he immediately addressed it, where sort of that veneer of he's this perfect English guy who's never, he's so sweet, you could take him home to mom. And all of a sudden he does something a little salacious. And then he's like, yeah, look, I did it. It's fine. Whatever. Like, he's very humble about it, which was cool. Actually, I thought that was kind of cool at the time. And I wonder if that he uses that as a way to try to put a more well-roundedness into his character, because maybe that's how people now view him a little bit more. They see him more as a fully like 360 view of who he actually is, or a fully formed person, as opposed to this, like, you know, cookie cutter perfect sort of idea of what a English gentleman who'd come and sweep you off your feet in some small English country town. I wonder if there's something to do with that. I mean, I don't know a lot about his personal life beyond what's in the press, but I wonder if that drove him to try to experiment more with his on-screen persona.
You might be onto something. I haven't looked any deeper, but the timing seems to coincide. And then I guess so, moving on to the next decade, the 2010s are sort of, I would say, maybe a bit of a rough patch for him. Because I think some of these romantic comedy movies where he's playing the same version of his, you know, 2010 sort of romantic lead, but still complicated and flawed, none of these movies actually work. Like The Rewrite, or did you hear about The Morgans? Of course, I've seen all of them.
You definitely heard about The Morgans. The answer to that question is yes, you've heard about those Morgans.
Yes, exactly. Again, interesting premises on paper. They're actually quite clever. And if you watch them, they're not, none of these movies are bad. You know, they're more watchable than any other movie, a lot of movies that have been put out in the last like 10 years, I would say. You know, all your Netflix movies that come out trying to sort of be quirky and charming and romantic, they're way better than any of those, I think. But I think people have gotten a little bit tired of that persona, perhaps, you know. So there's a little bit of that. And then smack down in the middle of this is also Cloud Atlas, where he tries to do something really outside of his comfort zone, which, you know, sort of works, mostly doesn't work, what have you. And I'm curious to hear about your thoughts on that. But I do think that Cloud Atlas sort of frees him off his persona. Because then when he takes a break to go do more political stuff and is sort of brought back approaching 2020, he's suddenly a lot more daring in his choices, a lot freer to try different kinds of characters like we've been hinting all along. And I think it started with Cloud Atlas, because that provided him the range and the opportunity to play like 10 people. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't be more different from what he's played so far.
Yeah, I think in case the listeners have not heard about Cloud Atlas or sort of know the premise of it, it's a Wachowski film. So Wachowski siblings did this. It's a very long, sort of spans many, many decades. It's got a small cast, but they play kind of reincarnations of the same character across time periods, societies, races, genders. It's all very, very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the movie personally. I don't think it works really at all. I don't blame Hugh for that in any way. I just think that movie to me doesn't work at all, though I know there's some diehard fans out there that love this film. I have only seen it once, so maybe I need to see it several more times, but it just didn't connect with me. But I think your theory on this being sort of the end of the old version of Hugh as he transitions now to be a character actor is kind of spot on when you look then at his filmography after that, which is no longer romantic leading men. I mean, he hasn't done a romantic comedy in a long time. And I don't know if he'll ever go back, maybe. And that was maybe doing all those different characters that he played in Cloud Atlas maybe got him excited about, oh, I can do all these different things now. And for him, and maybe he got what he needed out of that in terms of his artistic expression. So that's a very clear dividing line for sure.
It seems like it. I haven't seen it since either. I liked it for the most part. It was very long, but all Wachowski projects like done very nicely. And and it was sort of fun to see all these people in different lights, you know? So, but maybe I should go and watch it again. Cause
at some point I want to watch it again just to give it another crack. I mean, the Wachowskis, I do enjoy a lot of what they've done, and some of the other things don't work really well for me. And this is one of those, but for me, actually this period was his work with Guy Ritchie was actually when I personally I was like, holy crap, like Hugh Grant, I really like what he's doing. I want to see him in different things. So we started off with Man from U.N.C.L.E.,
right,
which is a Guy Ritchie spy film where he plays like a spy that kind of gets killed in the, it was like kind of more like a cameo sort of, he's a minor right. character. But The Gentleman, a film that Guy Ritchie did 5 or 6 years ago, where he basically plays a gangster bad guy, and he's so good. And that he's like, all the charm is gone. It's like a charm of sort of like a gangster, basically. And he is amazing in that role. And then another Guy Ritchie movie after that, Operation Fortune, he plays like this crazy mm-hmm. eccentric billionaire who's also a bad guy. And those performances are some of my favorite Hugh Grant. I'm like, this guy's having fun. He's totally gotten rid of that old persona of this bumbling kind of, you know, foppish prat, in my opinion, from the 90s. And just, you can see the range, and he seems like he's enjoying himself more. He's aged into his face and his persona. And those are the movies, when I look back on this decade, to me, that I guess is more aligning with my interests as a film watcher, that I just love him in those Guy Ritchie films. And hopefully they partner up in something else in the future. Have you seen any of those performances?
I've actually not seen any of these movies, and I do want to see them, but I've obviously seen scenes from all of them, and you can tell he's having so much fun. He's out there doing different things, and so it's really fun to see him do all of that. So the two that I want to mention, in addition to what you talked about from this new era of his, the first one is Florence Foster Jenkins, where he's playing this supporting character opposite Meryl Streep. And he still has, you know, some of the attributes of the Hugh Grant persona of being charming, but also a little bit silly and smarmy and such. But there's a new element that I've never seen him play, which is of that of sadness, because he's basically playing a, you know, failed actor who in some ways is deeply in love and I think cares for Meryl Streep's character, but also has a whole parallel life because with a younger person. With a younger woman. And so it's a complicated gray character, which he has played in the past, but there is this sense of longing and what life could have been. And you see that, but yet there is this sense of warmth and affection for Meryl's character. So yeah, it's a lesser Meryl movie, even though she's amazing in it, as she mostly is. But I think he is sort of the secret MVP of the movie, I think. And that's when I really saw him in a totally new light. I was like, oh, he can actually do this and play this sort of really multi-layered character, because you're wondering if he's a good guy or a bad guy throughout the movie.
Interesting.
So I recommend that. And then the second one, of course, is Paddington 2, where sort of similar to what I think you were saying with the Guy Ritchie movies, he's sort of having a blast where he's this larger than life person, you know, with makeup and wigs and kind of living his fantasy of a failed actor once again. And that's sort of his driving force. And you get to see him in, he almost feels like a company actor, you know?
Yes.
Into, you know, portraying different kinds of outlandish characters and wearing costumes and wigs and makeup and such, which is, I don't know, it warms my heart, because I never thought the perfect Hugh Grant, who looked amazing and was dashing and confident and everything, would actually just turn out to be a repertory actor, you know, which is so kind of charming in its own way.
I agree. And that's why I think this phase of his career is so fascinating. And also, he seems like the most satisfied with his life/career. And just to get to our final question, I'll pose it to you first then. What, if you were his agent, or what would you like to see him do, just as a fan of Hugh Grant, in this next phase or just in the next couple years, other than playing Oompa Loompa, which I think is his next role?
I know.
Better not talk much about that, probably. But what would you want to see him do?
I'd say continue on this path of playing sort of character actors, character parts, which are, you know, interesting and layered. But what I would love for him is sort of an Oscar-worthy performance, you know, somebody who's this sort of older person who is complicated, warms your heart, but is also curmudgeonly or has like a dark sort of past. And we've seen a lot of our leading actors from the 90s take this path, right, at some point in their careers, be it a Kevin Costner or be it whoever, right? Although I don't know if Kevin Costner is a 90s star. I guess he is.
80s, 90s. He came up in the 80s, but he was biggest in the 90s.
Yeah. So I would love to see him play something like that and, you know, make like a solid bet for an Oscar, you know, do a Christopher Plummer's style. Not that he's that old, but like, I think he has the juice in him to play something very interesting. Speaking of Christopher Plummer, I don't know if people have watched this TV show called Very British Scandal with him. And I'm forgetting the other guy's name, but he's amazing. He plays a closeted British MP and such, who's very sort of morally gray, but is sort of funny and kind of sad, lonely character. And you hate him, and but you also kind of root for him. Like, that's what I would want him to kind of build on. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have said this the same thing in terms of continue on this path of taking these meaty character roles, minor roles, supporting roles in these films. And I think that eventually will lead him to an Oscar for supporting or what have you. Yeah. I think he keeps going after these roles as he's done in the last 10 years. He's going to stumble into some part that's just going to be pitch perfect for what he's trying to do. I don't think he wants to be a leading man anymore. I don't see him being a lead in a film. I think he's enjoying this, like you said, sort of repertory theater, kind of doing all these cool things on the side as the, you know, around the main plot. So I kind of hope that he does that. And hey, maybe it's the Oompa Loompa might be the thing that does it, gets him the Oscar. We don't know. I know. I'm just kidding on that one. But
well, we hope you enjoyed our discussion on Hugh Grant and probably either rooting for me or Alex throughout this episode, depending on where you stand. But either way, we appreciate the love and the follows and everything that we get. So please keep doing that. We really appreciate. We are available on all the podcast platforms, including YouTube. Please drop a review or a rating. That really helps other listeners find us. And until next time, we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.